All right, welcome to the first talk of the day of the Gaming and VR Dev Room, Beyond Git, a collaborative version control for Godot with Paul Zonertag.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Hi, my name is Paul Zonertag, and today I want to talk about version control beyond Git. And I want to share some of the work we've been doing around better collaboration tools for the Godot editor. I'm part of a research lab called Ink and Switch, and the work I'm presenting here is has been a collaboration together with my colleagues Lilith Duncan, Nikita Setkovich, and Jeffrey Litt. This project was commissioned by the Enters Foundation. They are a nonprofit with the goal to teach students useful skills through game development. And they specifically picked the Godot engine because they didn't just want to teach a toy version of game development. They wanted students to learn real tools that actual professionals are using to build games. And continuing on this goal of making real games, they started a new project called Threadbare. And the idea behind Threadbare is to build this RPG-style game. And as the students go through the course, they can form teams and make their own level and contribute that back to the main game. So the idea is that you have this like rich world that evolves as students contribute new levels to this game. And they came to us with this question of how can we make it easier for students to collaborate on games. So to figure this out, let's see what this looks like right now. So imagine you're a student, you're excited about making your first game, but first of all, you need to learn Git. And what does this look like? You need to go, first of all, to the terminal. And that's probably the first time that they're doing this, and initially the terminal can be very intimidating. You have this big blank screen, no obvious buttons, and now you need to learn all these cryptic commands. But they have some tutorial, they push through, they start by cloning the repo, and now they're in Godot and they can start working on the game. And what's interesting about how Endless teaches game development is that they are starting with an already working game. So here you have an example of a platformer project, and the students can start by doing simple edits like moving platforms around. So they don't need to learn a lot of stuff up front. They immediately can do interesting things. So a student might start by doing something simple like making this level a little bit more interesting by moving the platforms around. But now they want to share it with their friends. So what they need to do is they need to go back to the terminal. They need to enter a bunch more commands like commit all their changes. And they're finally done, and now they run git push, and they get this error. Somebody else has modified the level, and now they're basically screwed. Like, they can't really, they're kind of stuck. And in practice, what they've learned is that teaching students to, like, fix merge conflicts is just too complicated. So in the end, what they teach students is to avoid merge conflicts at all costs. Basically, they should talk to each other. Only one student should touch a single file at a time. So they still need to go through all this hassle of Git, but in the end, they don't really get many benefits out of it. And games in particular are challenging with Git because you're not just versioning code. You have other things like scene files, for example, which are these like highly visual and structured artifacts. But Git can only version text, so you end up representing these as text files. So when you're looking at a div, you're not seeing what changed in the scene, you're looking at a text file, and you have to parse back, like, how does this relate to changes in the scene. And what's even worse, if you get a merge conflict, this means actually your scene file is broken now. So you need to go into a text editor, fix all the merge conflicts, and only once you've done that, you can load it in the Godot editor again. So what are, like, outside of games, how are students collaborating today? One tool that students are probably very familiar with is something like Google Docs, which is much more approachable. You have real-time collaboration. It's really easy to share a document with other people. Changes are automatically saved. So it would be nice to have some of these features for game development as well. So our goal is to build a new collaborative environment that builds on the strength of both of these tools. Right now, Endless are using Git because they need a collaboration tool that works on code. But this means they're also now locked into this like very formal way of working with like explicit commits, with branches and merging changes. Sometimes it would be nice to work more in a Google Doc style, especially in the beginning when students are making simple changes like moving platforms around or adding coins. It would be really nice if they could just jam together on a level and like changes are synced in real time. But you wouldn't always want to be in Google Docs mode. Like one thing that's really nice about Git are branches. Like you can just create your own branch, work in private on some changes or on a new feature. And once you're happy with your changes, you can review them and merge them back into Git. But actually, in practice, students are not really experiencing this power of Git. And the reason for that is that beyond code, we also need great support for scene files. Like merging scenes should be easy. You should be able to see changes in the scene instead of a text file. And of course, also we should support other assets like images and audio and so on. So here is what we've built in our tool. So here you can see the Godot editor. On the left here, we have the scene hierarchy. There are some coins, some platforms, and various other game objects. I have here this main panel where I can inspect elements and move them around. And what our plugin adds is this version control tab here. So you can see right now I'm checked out on the main branch, and I can also see a history of recent edits. And as a student, I might start by creating my own branch. And now you can see the history is empty because I haven't made any changes on this branch. And it's really nice that I was able to do all these things like viewing what branch I'm on and checking out a new branch just directly in the editor. I didn't have to go to any external tool. So maybe next I want to move around these platforms. And once I save these changes, you can see that every time I save, it automatically creates a new snapshot of the game. And if I open up this panel here below, I can see a list of all the changes that I made in the game. And this is using the native UI of Godot to show me the before and after value. And if I hover over these changed nodes, it also highlights this in the scene where this change happened. So this is really important that I can both see like the context where a change happened and also the details of like what specifically changed. This is especially useful if I'm making non-visual changes. For example, if I go into the player here and I, if I go into the player here and I crank up the speed and save it, now I can see here that the speed changed from the default value to 730. And this is otherwise a change that's really easy to miss if you're just looking at the scene file. So now that I'm happy with my changes, I can just click here on Merge. And this brings me into a merge preview where I can see how these changes will look once I merge them back into main. So I can click here on Merge. And now I'm back into main, and you can also see in the history I have here this entry for the merge, and I can see what changes I've made. So this is kind of the happy path, but like what happens if another student in parallel, while we were merging in these changes, they made some changes as well. They added some coins to the scene. What happens now if they want to merge them? So we click merge here as well. And now we can see the level looks a little bit messed up, like there's some overlap between the coins and the platforms. But what's nice is that like at least I can load the scene and look at it. So like our principle is that it's better to like be able to have like a level that might not work as intended, but at least I can like see how it works and can make changes to it. So here in the merge preview, I can also make changes. So I can fix this and align the coins with the platforms. And once I'm happy with these changes, I can save and merge them into main. And now I have both these changes combined, the move platforms and the added coins. So this is how you can work together on branches, but we also support live syncing. So here you can see in the background I have a second version of the editor running, and whenever I make a change here and save it, you can see it automatically syncs to the other side. And this also works the other way around. This obviously is not quite like Google Doc style live collaboration. The limitation here is mostly the Godot editor. It wasn't like designed with collaboration in mind. So like the only point where we can like sync is when all the files are saved. But we already found this to be quite useful if you're pairing, especially if you're together like on a Zoom call, for example, that you can like take turns and easily like make progress together on a game. So we started this exploration with the question of how can we make it easier for students to collaborate on games. But beyond that specific use case, we have a broader vision. We want to make it easier for every person to collaborate on every document. And we call this vision universal version control. We've already seen that games are actually, they have quite broad requirements for collaboration tools. And that's not just a challenge for students. This is also something that people in the game industry is tricky for them. You have different specialists like artists and developers, both with their own set of tools, but in the end they need to collaborate together on the same project. And this is not unique to games. For example, if you think about researchers writing scientific papers, a scientific paper is not just a text document. It might contain like graphs and charts that are generated by some script that's based on some data. So it would be nice to version all these things together in a single environment. And even if you're just a single person working in a single medium, version control tools could be really powerful if they were more flexible. You could think of a musician working on a new track. Like initially, they want to work like very loosely. They have some ideas, they want to sketch something out. But like as they are making progress and like honing in on a final version, it would be really nice if they could like easily compare like different versions, like what has changed between them to like figure out like what they actually want. So what we want is universal version control that works for every person, not just programmers, every document, not just code, and every workflow, not just formal software development. And we already explored some of these use cases in an online, in a browser-based collaboration platform that we call Patchwork. And Patchwork, we have things like every document you can create a branch of by default. We have application-specific diffs, like here you can see a diff for a spreadsheet or a drawing. We have history that's automatically generated, but you can also like manually annotate it. And we've explored provenance for generated artifacts in scientific papers. So to build these new kind of collaboration tools, we needed some new infrastructure. And that's why we've built AutoMerge, which is an open source library to store and sync versioned documents. In some sense, AutoMerge is very similar to Git. By default, it works locally without a server, but you can optionally sync your changes either peer-to-peer or you can sync it through a central server. But there are some differences to Git. So first of all, it works on structured and binary data, not just text. this is really important if you want to version any kind of application. So like in AutoMerge, you can represent most applications as a document. And the second thing is that AutoMerge has much more granular commits, because we also want to model things like Google Doc or like real-time collaboration. So in this case, each keystroke is an individual commit. And then later you can still introduce more formal workflows where you can like group these together and like annotate them into like meaningful units if you want to, but you don't have to. And another thing that's different is that changes merge by default. So for example, if you have a conflict, like two people concurrently change the same field to a different value, AutoMerge by default picks one of these versions. But this doesn't mean you can still work with merge conflicts. We don't throw this information away. You can ask for like what are conflicts in this document, and then the application can decide to like surface this to the user to like manually let them pick between like version A and B. Yeah, so this has just been like a brief overview of AutoMerge. Most of the stuff I've been talking about in this talk is already open source. If you want, you can check out our plugin on GitHub. It's still under heavy development right now. Think of it more as alpha software. Feel free to experiment it with and try to use it in your game, but I wouldn't recommend using it for anything critical yet. And if you want to learn more about AutoMerge, there is an upcoming talk by my colleagues, which is going more into the technical details. And finally, I want to also thank Endless, who funded all this work on the Godot plugin. You should also check out their projects if you want to learn more about how they are teaching game development to kids. That's it from me now. Let me know if you have any questions.
All right, we have some time for questions. Anyone? All right.
Hello, thank you for the talk. So you said there are maybe scene conflicts because you have to save the scene before change are applied. Maybe you're doing it already. Can't you force auto-saving like every 5 seconds to have a more live thing?
Yeah, I mean, the problem is that like whenever you save, it kind of like blocks the whole editor. So that's like why it's not a great, like we want to give the user the control like when kind of like this happens.
All right, questions?
What do you do with conflicts that can't be merged automatically, like two objects that are by boats moved around?
Yeah, so like the way we represent scene files is that we store it as structured data. So basically like each node has an ID and then like references each children. So like we can always like merge things together. But like of course this doesn't necessarily mean that this is like a meaningful scene. Like basically we can combine like all the changes of like nodes that were added and like properties that were changed, but like if like semantically it still might these like changes might be like incompatible, so like there's not that much we can do about that.
Yeah, but I mean, like if you change the same property of the same nodes.
Right. So like in that case, we automatically pick like one version, and like one thing that we're not doing right now is like exposing this conflict. Like under the hood, we like detect this conflict and like what we want to work on next is to give the user like a way that they can see like here is like value A or value B, like choose between one of them.
All right. By the way, if the next presenter is in the room, please come over.
Quick question about the conflicts as well. So if you have this conflict that you automatically resolve, have you thought about any heuristics to maybe detect if you can do something smarter, like for example, pick a value that makes more sense or
yeah,
is
yeah.
more likely to succeed, something like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So right now we're still working on like making this plugin more like stable, so we can like use it in classroom, so we can use it more in classrooms. We haven't like deeply explored yet like what happens if you like actually like use this in more heavy context. But yeah, like thinking about like what are heuristics to like resolve merge conflicts, that's definitely like a great question that we want to explore.
All right, we have some time for more questions.
Is Godot the only current showcase there is of auto merge, or is there also other ones like for music or like you described?
Yeah, so like what we have, we don't have anything yet for music, which I think would be cool to do. Like Patchwork is like the other project we've been doing. So in Patchwork we have like versioned Markdown document, we have done like versioning LaTeX documents, and also like you can easily build like smaller tools. Like we also have like a drawing editor. Yeah.
All right. One last question.
Can you talk a little bit about the results in the classroom? Was it well accepted?
Yeah, so basically Git is like super like you've seen how like difficult the experience is with Git, so like just having something where you can like automatically merge is already huge. We haven't, right now we're still like in development mode, so like in a couple of months we want to bring this like back into the classrooms, but so far what we've heard from teachers is that they are like, we want to have this tool right now. Like, we don't even care about like having better UX. We just like, if what you have right now would be working like more stable, we would use this immediately. So that's why we are right now focusing on like better engineering and like making this work more solidly.
All right, and we're unfortunately out of time. Thank you.